If you turn, please, to the Siddur, page 98. So I want to mention something that I mentioned briefly earlier. Remember, the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, is the prayer par excellence. All the other prayers lead up to this one. This is what is called prayer in the language of the Talmud. And it starts the first paragraph, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. We refer to God, blessed are you God, our God and the God of our fathers, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov. So we ask the question, well, why not say the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why repeat God's name a total of three times? And the answer that we gave is that because each one had their own particular relationship with God. Yes, it's the same God, but the relationship was different. The experience that Avram had of God was somewhat different than the experience that Yitzchak had and the experience that Yaakov had. So I just want to remind you of that, that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, because what I want to say tonight will build on that. We'll build on that idea. The Talmud asks the following. The Talmud says, from where is it derived that a Jew ought to pray three times a day? Where do the three prayers come from? Shacharis in the morning, Mincha in the afternoon, Maariv at night. Where do those prayers come from? The Talmud gives two answers. The second answer is not for tonight. We're going to discuss that another time. But I want to discuss the first answer. The Talmud says the first answer, Tfilos, Avos Tiknum. The three prayers that we have, again, that means the set, required, daily prayers that happen at specific times, morning, afternoon, and evening, were established by the patriarchs. And then the Talmud gives the details. So the first one, so again, let's just take a look at the Psukim. Now let's move to the Chumash. The first one we saw last week, and that's on page 88 in the Chumash. Last week's Parsha, page 88. Pasuk 27. This is the day after Hashem destroyed Sodom and Amorah, even though Avraham had intervened with God that the city should be saved. Nonetheless, the city was destroyed. Vayashkem Avraham baboker, and Avraham got up early in the morning. The same place that he had stood the day before. Our rabbis say the standing that we're talking about, that is standing in prayer. Avram had stood the day before to pray for the people of Sodom, and now he comes back to the same place. He sees that he was unsuccessful in what he was trying to achieve. Sodom was destroyed, but still, by Yashkem Avram Baboker, he stood early in the morning, the place that he had stood before. Say our rabbis with this verse, Avraham Tikein Tfilah Shachris. Avraham established the morning prayer. That means for all time, every morning on a daily basis, a Jew has an obligation to pray the morning prayer. Probably, the name of our prayer in the Siddur, calling it the Amidah, of course, it's the Amidah, which means standing, because we say the prayer when we are standing. Who was the first person to say a prayer standing? Avram. The first of the three, the word that is used to describe him in prayer is Amidah, standing. That then gives its name to this prayer. because the detail of standing is not just an arbitrary, unrelated detail. Standing is essential to the nature of prayer. Amad, the pasuk says, Asher Amad Sham es Pnei Hashem, where he had stood facing Hashem. And the main concept of prayer, the bottom line, most fundamental aspect of prayer, is that when I am engaged in prayer, I need to be aware that I am standing in God's presence and facing God directly. And therefore, standing makes sense out of respect. The idea, the movements that we talk about in prayer, taking three steps forward before we begin the prayer, is to reinforce within ourselves that we are walking into God's presence. The idea that there are certain points in the prayer when we bow, we bend our knees and bow our head as a sign of respect and a sign of obedience. The idea that when we stand for this prayer, we hold our feet together. So that has a basis in a verse in the Navi Yechezkel, Ezekiel. There's a pasuk that describes the malach, an angel, as a being that has regel yeshara, a single leg. Not two legs with 2 feet like human beings have, but one single leg. And therefore, in our desire to come closer to God, we want to physically resemble angels, to be not of this world when we are praying, but to be able to communicate directly with God in a spiritual sense. We stand as if we are angels. And the reason we want to resemble angels is because angels, as purely spiritual beings, have no distractions. They don't get hungry. They don't itch. They don't get distracted by the noise here or the cell phone there or whatever it is. And therefore, our desire to resemble angels and our desire to stand and our desire, all of these details surrounding prayer are all meant to emphasize the main idea of being directly in the presence of God, and that comes from Abraham. And he described it as amad, to stand. That was the word that describes prayer, and that word is the word that we use for our prayer, amida.
Of course, a large part, significant portion of the Shabbat service, the prayer during the Shabbat service, is sitting down.
So, as I mentioned before, I'm glad you said that. I'm going to come back to this later. Prayer is the Amidah. That's it. Everything else we do is either leading up to the Amidah or taking us down from the Amidah. But Amidah is prayer. Everything else we do is a supporting role to support that the Amidah should be heartfelt and meaningful. And we need to understand each component to see how it fits into that. We'll look a little bit at that a little later today. Now, I did share with you last time the amazing and ironic context of Abraham's prayer. I'll leave that for now because we discussed it last time at length. And if you want to listen to the recording from last week, you can listen to the recording. But the point of Avram's prayer is it is in the morning. And it is a prayer of optimism, of confidence, of success. Remember, Avraham had just been successful in his prayer to God, because he had succeeded in engaging God in a negotiation, in a conversation. That's what prayer is. Notwithstanding the fact that God's answer was no concerning Sodom. But the prayer was successful qua prayer. And therefore, Avram established not only the idea of prayer, but a kind of prayer, a mood of prayer. Prayer that is confident, optimistic, forward-looking, joyful, merciful. That's Avram. Please turn in the Chumash to page 120. And now this comes to this week's parsha. This week's parsha, Chayisara. First, we learn that Sarah passes away. Abraham buries her. And then Abraham wants to find a wife for his son Yitzchak. So he sends Eliezer, his servant, to go back to his family. And Eliezer travels, and Eliezer finds a young woman. Her name is Rivka, Rebecca. And Rivka and her family agree that she should come back with Eliezer to marry Yitzchak. So the Torah describes at great length this journey and meeting this family and meeting Rivka and her deciding to come back. And then they set out on their trip back. Page 120, the top of the page. Pasuk Samach Gimel, 63. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnos arev. And Yitzchak went out to lasuach, to meditate in the field, lifnos arev, towards evening, meaning in the afternoon, by Yisa Eina Vayar, and he lifted up his eyes and he saw Vihine Gamalim Bayim, there were camels coming, and if you look at the next psukim, riding on those camels is Rivka, accompanied by Eliezer, and this is where Rivka and Eliezer meet. Soon after, they marry. And they begin their married life together. Says the Talmud, Lasuach is another word that means prayer. When in the day did Yitzchak do this? Lifnos Arev, in the afternoon, towards the evening, but before the sunset. So in the afternoon, says the Talmud, from this verse, Yitzchak tikein tfilas mincha. Yitzchak established that every day we daven mincha, the afternoon prayer. This is the source of the afternoon prayer. I'm going to come back to this, but let's just look at the third one first. Please turn to page 144. This is coming up in 2 weeks. Top of the page, page 144. This narrative is after Yitzchak and Rivka give birth to twins, Esav and Yaakov. There is a dispute about which of them will get the blessing from their father Yitzchak. Yaakov, who is the younger of the two, does receive the blessing, and Esav, his brother, is very upset, and Yaakov runs away on his mother's advice. He runs away from home to live with his cousin Laban for a number of years until Esav's anger will subside. Top of the page, page 144, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, where they lived, and he went towards Haran, where Lavan and his family lived, where Rivka was from. Vayivka b'makom, and he came upon the place, Vayolen sham, and he rested there, Kivo HaShemesh, because the sun had already set, because it was dark, it was nighttime. Vayivka, he came upon, or he encountered the place, and he rested there because it was nighttime. Our rabbis tell us, Yaakov tikein tfilas Maariv, Yaakov established the prayer of Maariv, the evening prayer, with this verse. You will notice that in my list so far, I have Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv. I have not mentioned Musaf, and that is something that we're going to discuss later because it's part of a different subject. These three passages are the source of the required times for each of the prayers. Now, you may know that there are some groups of Jews that are more punctilious about the exact time that each prayer should take place, and some groups of Jews that are less punctilious about each of these detailed times. But nonetheless, there is a proper time for each of the prayers. Optimally, Shachris, the morning prayer, should be as early as sunrise, within the first 3 hours of the day. Mincha should be in the afternoon, preferably in the 2.5 or 3 hours before sunset. And Maariv should be at night, after it is completely dark, in the first part of the night. Those details correspond to the context of each of the three psukim. Avraham, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, he got up early in the morning. How early is early in the morning? Sunrise, that's when the morning starts. Mincha, the pasuk says, Lifnos Arev, towards evening, meaning afternoon, before sunset. Maariv, Kiva HaShemesh, the sun is gone, it's dark, that's evening. But the times for each of the three prayers are more than just the literary context of each of the three verses. The time is meant to reflect the mood and the emphasis of those three prayers. In other words, each of the three, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their prayer was different than the others. It was different in mood. It was different in connotation. It was different in their relationship with God. Avraham had a relationship with God where he saw God's kindness. God responded to him. Avraham lived a life of showing kindness. Avraham's main actions in his life occurred early in the morning, a time of promise. And therefore, the prayer first thing in the morning reflects optimism. You know, person's going through a difficulty, and whatever difficulty you have, very often it's worse at night. You're lonely, you're afraid, you're worried, and then finally, it starts to get light. And for a lot of things in life, once it starts to get light, it's a new day. It's going to be all right. The sun's shining again. It's a moment of optimism, of confidence. A moment of seeing God's strength in the world. And that's what Avram's prayer is about. And we pray this prayer in the morning in order for it to be an Avraham prayer, that we should also be suffused by and fueled by the same sense of optimism and positivity and good outlook towards the day. Let me skip over Yitzchak for a moment. Let's go to Yaakov. Yaakov prayed at night. Yaakov prayed from a very different emotional place. He prayed from a place of exile, a place of fear. His brother said he was going to kill him. He was running away. He was vulnerable. He was frightened. He was anxious. And he cried out to God in his fear and in his vulnerability. And he prayed at night when things are the most frightening. Mincha, the afternoon, is the bridge between the two. Yitzchak's life, in general, is more passive than either Avram or Yaakov. Most of the events in Yitzchak's life are things that happened to him. The binding of Isaac. He didn't initiate it, it happened to him. Giving the blessing to the wrong son. He didn't initiate it, it happened to him. His life is more passive. More inward. At the same time, his life was suffused by service to God. And using the word lasuach to meditate is a word that indicates something that is inward. His prayer was perhaps more spiritual than the others. Now, again, it's not a question of right or wrong. And the truth is, we need all three. In our lives, we have to respond to God and approach God from an Avraham point of view. We also have to approach God from a Yitzchak point of view. And we also have to approach God from a Yaakov point of view. There may be different times in our lives when we are more easily able to connect with one kind of an approach over the other. That's fine. Of course, we're still obligated to pray all three prayers. But we may be able to connect more easily or identify more easily with one over the other. And that's normal. But Yitzchak's contribution is the inward nature that prayer has to have. Let me show you how this is reflected in our prayers. If you look back to the Siddur, page 92. In the Siddur, page 92, the second paragraph, this is the Shema. The second paragraph of the Shema starting, V'hoya im Shemoa. V'hoya im Shemoa. And it will be that if you listen to my commandments, Hashem says, that I'm commanding you today, La'avos Hashem Elokeichem, to love the Lord your God, u'la'avdo, and to serve him, to serve God, b'chol levavchem, with all of your heart, says the Talmud, Ezu hi avoda shebelev. What does it mean to serve God with your heart? Haviomer zu tfila. That's prayer. Prayer has got to be inward, meditative, thoughtful. simply reading the words. Okay. I mean, it's better than playing basketball during davening, but or going downstairs to drink. But it's not davening. Davening is something that you're saying words outwardly, but there's got to be something on the inside. It's got to be your heart, your consciousness. It's got to be service that is inward, that is meditative, that is meaningful, that is conscious. Now, what's interesting, though, is although there is this vast difference, range, between the prayer of Abraham to the prayer of Yitzchak to the prayer of Yaakov, when our rabbis instituted this for us and instituted that we should pray these same prayers three times a day, corresponding to the three times that each of them prayed their prayer, but you understand we are praying the same words. We're saying the exact same prayer. The Amidah is identical in the morning, afternoon, and evening. There is a slight difference, but that relates to another issue again that we're going to get to later. But with a slight oversimplification, the text of the prayer is identical. Because there's one God, there's one prayer, but it comes from multiple hearts, multiple moods. Now, even though the central prayer, the Amidah, is the same, but the secondary prayers, the prayers that lead up to it, do indicate the differences. Let me show you one example. If you look, please, on page 88. So the structure of the prayer service in the morning is the longest prayer. Mincha, the afternoon, is the shortest service. Maariv is in between. The format, the structure of Maariv, the evening prayer, is most similar to Shacharis, where there is the Shema, the prayer of the Shema, with a couple of paragraphs before and a couple paragraphs after, and that comprises the introduction to the Amidah, both for Shacharis in the morning and Maariv at night. The Shema has a paragraph that introduces it. In the morning, there's a paragraph that introduces it. And at night, there's a paragraph that introduces it. In the morning, the paragraph that introduces it is on page 88, the middle of the page, Ahava Rabba Avtanu Hashem Elokeinu. God, you have loved us with an abundant and great love. It's an amazing thing. A person wakes up in the morning and they focus. Man, God loves me so much. Because that's what Shacharis is. That's what Abraham felt. Abraham felt that he was beloved of God. And that's why he stood early in the morning. And his prayer expressed this prayer of confidence. Confidence in being loved by God. Ahava Rabba Avtanu. You love us with a great, abundant love. That's in the morning. The same paragraph, the corresponding paragraph at night for Maariv is on page 258. Page 258, third line from the top of the page. Ahavas olam beis Yisrael amcha ahavta. with an eternal love, you have loved us, God. What's the difference? Well, in the morning, we are struck by the abundance of God's love. In the evening, we say, it's eternal. It will always be there. Why do we have to say it's eternal? Because we don't always see it. Because at night, you don't always see it. In other words, in the morning, there is this expression, I recognize that I am loved by God so, so much. At nighttime, I say, listen, even if I don't see it, my faith is that God actually loves us, even if we don't see it. And by the way, that is reflected in our prayers in Tehillim. If you look, please, at page 320. And this is a paragraph of Tehillim that we say on Shabbos and other times. Page 320. Top of the page. Mizmar Shir Liyom HaShabbos. A psalm, a song for the Sabbath day, for Shabbos. Tov lahodos l'Hashem. It is good to praise God. It is good to give thanks to God. Ulzamer l'shimcha elyon, and to sing songs to His exalted name. Lahagid baboker chazdecha, in the morning, to tell of His kindness. Ve'emunoscha balelos, and to tell of His trustworthiness at night. In the morning, we talk about how kind God is. In the nighttime, we talk about that we can trust God. Because why do you have to trust someone? Because if I say, I trust you to give me the money, that's because you're not giving it to me now. If you give me the money, I don't have to trust you. You gave it to me. If I say I trust you, that means you're not giving it to me, but I trust you'll give it to me in the future. If God's being kind to us right now, so I can say, God, you're kind. If God is not being kind to us, if our experience of God right now is not an experience of kindness, so then we say, God, we have faith that your kindness endures forever, even if we don't see it. Avram's experience of God was that he experienced God's kindness. That's how he saw God. Yaakov did not see God the same way. Yaakov did not experience God as a kind, compassionate, loving God. Yaakov experienced God as one who stood by him no matter how bad it got. No matter if he was running away in exile, no matter if he was fighting with an angel in the middle of the night, no matter if he had problems with his children, if he had to go into exile to Egypt again, no matter what Yaakov suffered, as he himself said about his life, that he had such a difficult life. But he understood that God was with him, even if it didn't appear that way. So again, it's the same words, but it's with a different mood. It's with a different inflection. And when we say the prayers, we are supposed to try to connect with each of those different moods, not just the words. We need to try when we say Shacharis in the morning, when we say the Amidah in the morning, to say it in an, thank you, to say it in an Avraham way. And perhaps there's something going on in our lives where we can experience that. Maybe there's not, and maybe Shacharis is difficult for us. Perhaps there's something going on in our lives that is much more nighttime-like, in which case we may be able to experience the emotion that Yaakov had at night to rely on his faith, even though he couldn't see God at that time. There's an amazing detail of synagogue architecture. Preferably a synagogue sanctuary, a place where we pray, should have windows. It's mentioned in the Talmud. It's actually a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. A synagogue should have windows. Why should a synagogue? If anything, if we're so worried about distractions, I might think that it would be better to pray in a place that does not have windows because of the potential of distraction. But no, the halachas should have windows. I once heard from Rabbi Riskin an understanding of this halacha that when we pray, it is necessary that we are able to see out the windows to recognize that there is a larger world. And when we pray, we have to be concerned not only with our own personal parochial concerns, but also with the concerns of others. We should never pray wrapped up only in our own concerns. And there are windows in order to be aware of the wider world. But let me share a much simpler reason. You should always pray in a room that has windows so you can see what it's like outside. Because whether the sun is just coming up or the sun is going down or it's dark, that is supposed to affect our prayer. And there is a difference between a nighttime prayer and a daytime, a morning prayer and an afternoon prayer. Not in the words, but in the mood. Let's come back to Yitzchak. There is a startling comment of our rabbis back in the Chumash on this pasuk, page 120, top of the page. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnos orev. And Yitzchak went out to meditate in the fields towards the afternoon, towards evening. Vayisa eina vayar, he lifted up his eyes and he saw. Vihine gmalim bayim, he saw camels approaching. And on the camel was Rivka, who would be his wife. Our rabbis say an amazing thing. Talmud says, La'olam yizhar adam, is the Gemara in Masechet Brachos. La'olam yizhar adam b'tfilas ha-mincha. A person should always be very careful to daven mincha, the afternoon prayer. A person should be careful to daven every prayer. What's so special about mincha? So the Talmud says, Shekein Eliyahu lo nana kiim betfilas amincha. Because Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet, was answered when he prayed in the afternoon. So that refers to an incident in Nach, at a time of Eliyahu Anavi, Elijah the prophet, in the northern kingdom, when there were many Jews who were involved in idolatry. And there was a showdown between the priests of Baal, pagans, and Eliyahu. And Eliyahu wanted a public demonstration that the idols were false and the only true service was the service of God. And Eliyahu arranged this public spectacle. It happened on Har Carmel, Mount Carmel, which we understand is near Haifa, the northern part of Israel. And there was the pagan priest tried to offer their offerings and nothing happened. And then it was in the afternoon, and Eliyahu prayed to God, and he said, please allow this miracle to happen so that everyone will hear, will see that God is true and the idols are false. And a fire descended from heaven and consumed Eliyahu's offering. And all the people there said, Hashem hu alakim, Hashem is the Lord, Hashem is the Lord. We invoke that famous spectacle at the end of Yom Kippur, when we say seven times, Hashem hu alakim, God is Lord. So Eliyahu's prayer was in the afternoon, and it was answered immediately, and I would say dramatically. So Shacharis, yes, you should pray. Maariv, yeah, you should pray. But if you really, really want to get what it is that you're asking for, of course, I'm just telling you what the Talmud says. I find it hard to understand because there are a lot of people that do pray in the afternoon and still they're not getting the answer that they asked for. But the Talmud says that there's something about the prayer of Mincha that maybe more often or more easily or is somehow more conducive to receiving what it is that you're praying for. Says the Kli Yakar, one of the traditional commentators to the Torah, okay, it happened with Eliyahu, but how do you see that from Yitzchak? So he says as follows, if Yitzchak was praying in the afternoon, what was he praying for?
A wife.
A wife, presumably. What did he need? He needed a wife. He was praying for a wife. Vayisa Eina Vayar, he prayed. He lifted up his eyes and there she was. So of the three of them, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yitzchak is the only one whose prayer, presumably, was answered immediately.
I'll mention it to my son.
Eliezer's was also.
The afternoon.
Eliezer's was answered immediately.
Okay. Why should it be that a prayer in the afternoon somehow has greater merit? And I'm not even sure what that means, greater merit or greater efficacy. I'm not even sure how to understand that. But I mean, the Talmud does say that. But what is it that's special about Mincha? Well, one thing that's special about Mincha, I mean, it's the same words, right? It's the same words. Why should they be more efficacious in the afternoon than in the morning or the evening? One possibility is the prayer of Mincha requires that you interrupt your day. Shacharis, you can always wake up a few minutes earlier. Maariv, you can always stay up a few minutes later. Mincha requires that you interrupt your day. In other words, Mincha is a prayer that by definition is intrinsic to regular life. It's not external. And therefore, it's more indicative of the relationship with God. It's not like just, you know, okay, we finished. I'll see you next Saturday. I'll see you tomorrow morning. But it shows the ongoing nature of the relationship. Which is also indicated by the word lasuach, which I have translated as to meditate, but of course the word is also used to mean conversation.
Sicha.
And this aspect of prayer, of having it be a conversation and interaction, is within my day. I don't go before God and then leave God and come back. In a certain sense, I remain in God's presence. I would only tell you this story from Rabbi Beryl Wine, because Rabbi Beryl Wine himself says it. And of course, you have to be a really great person to tell this kind of story about yourself, and also very self-confident, both of which Rabbi Wine is. He tells the following story. When he was a young man, he wanted to be a lawyer. So he worked hard, he went to law school, and he was hired, and he started to work in a law firm. It was his first day in working in this firm, and of course, he was very busy. And the end of the day came, and he recognized that he had missed mincha. He didn't daven mincha, because mincha is limited. You have to daven by sunset. Once sunset comes, you're finished. And he felt so terrible. He'd never missed mincha. He'd always been in yeshiva. He was a religious boy growing up. He always davened mincha. It never happened that he missed mincha. How could it be the first day that he was there and he missed mincha? But what the story demonstrates to you is that in order to daven mincha, you got to be worried about mincha all day long. It's not just you can set your alarm a few minutes earlier, okay, daven shacharis. Not like, you know, if you have a sitter by your bed, so you remember to daven maar before you go to sleep. You got to be worried and concerned about mincha all day long to make sure you don't miss it. I hope not. I hope not. Lawyers don't often think in those terms. Billable means.
I know, and that's why I'm ducking.
Yeah. All right. Let's come back to the Amidah. So now that we have the source of the Amidah, I want to spend just a few minutes tonight to talk about the structure of this prayer. Again, because it's so important, it's the central prayer. Let's turn back, please, to page 98. Every Amidah, I recognize that when many people come to shul to pray, first of all, if they're coming for the first time and they're not familiar with it, they can be hopelessly lost. But even after a person has been coming a number of times, a person could feel that it's just, you know, it's like a long list. It's just page after page, one page after the other. You say this, then the next, then the next, then the next. There is a very, very organized structure to the entire prayer service. And every single prayer, you can put it in an outline. I hope to do this with you. I'm only doing a little piece now, but as we get a little further, I hope to be able to diagram the entire service, and it's very simple. And every prayer fits into the theme, the structure, the place. And it's very, very tightly, rigidly organized. I want now just to talk about the Amidah. Every single Amidah, every day, every time, all year long, has the same structure. And the structure is three paragraphs in the beginning that are always the same. three paragraphs at the end that are always the same. And the middle changes. The three paragraphs at the beginning are known as Shvach, praise of Hashem. There are three paragraphs that praise God. We'll look at them more carefully in a moment. The three paragraphs at the end are Hoda'ah, thanksgiving, saying thank you, expressing gratitude. We'll look at them in more depth later on. The middle part changes. During the week, we ask for things. Requests. We ask for knowledge. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for healing. All the things that we ask for. We ask for things. On Shabbos, we are not supposed to ask God for things. Because an aspect of Shabbos observance is that I should feel as if all of my requests have already been granted. When Shabbos starts, I need to develop the feeling there is nothing that I need. Everything is finished. Vayachulu Hashemayim Baretz. Everything is finished. And therefore, on Shabbos, and also on Yom Tov, there are no requests in the middle. Instead, there are paragraphs that we refer to as Kedushas Hayom. Paragraphs that express the sanctity of the day. Friday night, there is one set of paragraphs. Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And each of those middle sections reflects the nature of that day. And we'll look at each of them in greater depth as we go along. But that's the structure. First three paragraphs, always the same. Last three paragraphs, always the same. Middle changes depending on whether it's a weekday, that's number one, or Shabbos, or Yom Tov. Let's look, please, at the first three paragraphs. I'm not going to read the entire text, but on page 98, the first paragraph, Baruch Atah Hashem, and then it ends. Each paragraph, the first paragraph begins and ends with Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. That is a paragraph about Avraham. Now, you remember we spoke about this before. All three of the patriarchs are mentioned, but only Avraham is mentioned at the end. I gave you one answer for that. But in any event, I mean, it is true that Avraham receives more attention in the first paragraph than the others. The first paragraph corresponds to Avraham. And it talks about compassion and kindness and thanksgiving. In the third line, Gomel Chasadim Tovim. You do good deeds. In the last line, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. You protect Avraham. You show us your kindness. You show us your strength. It corresponds to the nature of Avraham's prayer. Second prayer, second paragraph. Ata gibor li'olam Hashem, mechaye meisim ata rav loshia. God, you bring the dead back to life. To which of the three patriarchs does that correspond? To Yitzchak. According to at least the Midrashic opinion, his life actually was taken at the binding of Isaac, and he was brought back to life by God. Or even in the simple reading, it came very close. And we talk about bringing the dead back to life, bringing rain to a parched world is a metaphor for bringing the dead back to life. And that's part of this second paragraph. And the third paragraph on the next page, page 102, Ata Kadosh, V'Shimcha Kadosh, you are holy, your name is holy, Baruch Ata Hashem Akel HaKadosh, blessed are you, the holy God, connects to Yaakov. Yaakov, who was connected to holiness, connected to angels, who saw angels going up and down the ladder, who wrestled with an angel, who was in contact with his holiness. And therefore, as we say each of these paragraphs, we should think to ourselves of the prayer that each of those great individuals instituted. But I want to share one last idea to finish off for today. And this is something that I've shared before in the name of Rav Noach Weinberg, a blessed memory. We begin this main prayer of the Amidah. We take three steps forward to indicate we're approaching God. The first question is, who is God? What is God? It's got to be the first question we ask ourselves as we approach God in prayer. Who is God? Says Rav Noach Weinberg, the first three paragraphs are intended to give us a very brief, concise, and easily remembered definition of God. Three-part definition. God is creator, sustainer, supervisor. Creator. First paragraph. God of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Gomel chasidim tavim v'konei hakol. And God owns all. Why does God own all? Because God created it. The first paragraph refers to God as the creator of heaven and earth. That's why he is Kone Hakol. So definition part number one, God is a creator. But you know you can create something and then step back and let it run by itself. So therefore, the second paragraph comes to say, no, God didn't only create, he sustains. The second paragraph is all in the present tense. Mechaye Mesin. He resuscitates the dead. Next page. Mechalkel, he provides, present tense. So meich noflim, he supports those who have fallen, present tense. Rofei cholim, he heals those who are sick. Matir asurim, he frees those who are enslaved. Ongoing, present tense, involvement. God sustains that which he created. And then finally, the third paragraph on page 102, Ata Kadosh, to say that God is holy is to say that there is an aspect of reverence that we're required to have for God. Why do we have to revere and respect and even fear God? Because God is also the supervisor. God holds us accountable for how well we fulfill his wishes. So therefore, the first three paragraphs are defining God. First paragraph, creator. Second paragraph, sustainer. Third paragraph, supervisor. And that is always the way we begin our prayer to God, to rehearse to ourselves what God is. So that's a brief introduction to the structure and at least the beginning of the Amidah and the way in which it comes from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we'll continue with this next time. Cool. Thank you very much.